Yeah, so here we are now. We're okay. So how
Good.
is everything going
Very good, thank
with
you. Very good,
conferences?
thank you. Thank you for having me
Right.
back.
Oh, wonderful. I'm glad. I'm glad to do this. I
Yeah.
am. I'm glad to do this. This is, Cliff, I want to mention, I'm just going to be very blunt with this, that your shows really have a lot of listeners. There's a lot of people that are very, very interested outside of all the shows that I've done. The highly sensitive person show seems to really spike a lot of interest in people. So, gosh, I guess there's a reason for that.
Well, I'm telling you, I'm really thrilled to hear that. And I'm glad because a lot of people don't know about this subject.
Sure.
And, as I've mentioned before to you, that you're really providing a public service to get the word out about this. And, I try to paint a realistic portrait of the highly sensitive person trait. It is an inherited character trait. It's not a negative connotation when you're highly sensitive or sensitive. When you're highly sensitive, it's a heightened sense of awareness mentally, emotionally and physically, and it's not a bad thing. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about being a highly sensitive person. And one of the misconceptions is the topic that we're talking about today. Are highly sensitive people more prone to illness? And I'm going to say definitely not. We're not prone to to illness more than others. I'm on the high side of being a highly sensitive person. And I never really thought of being highly sensitive as a negative thing. And if you think about the question, are highly sensitive people more prone to illness? I mean, it's definitely a negative connotation. And it's something that you really have to be very careful about what because if people really think that, it'll come to be. You really should never focus on what you don't want. And there's no scientific proof that highly sensitive people are more prone to illness. And I just want to, answer questions about this. If you have any questions about it, I can give some personal experiences that I have, but I think
Let me
that,
ask you a question. Let
sure.
me ask you a question on that while you're touching on that subject. When you say that they're not prone to illness, I might differ on that in an opinion because I
Okay.
might think, well, if a highly sensitive person has these hypersensitivities, which we kind of equate and not scientifically, there's been no studies to link this, and there's really doesn't seem to be any scientific studies regarding the highly sensitive person in that term. But you might look at a highly sensitive person as being a type A personality, which tied to a type A personality are some physical illnesses that can stem from being a type A personality. However, I guess what you might be saying is there's no studies that have been done to really conclude that every hypersensitive person is, or highly sensitive person is, a type A personality.
Well, I think that, being prone to illness, I mean, that's really a general term. I mean, anyone can say that because although highly sensitive people can have high stress, so can everyone else. And you really can't tie the trait into,
Well, that makes sense.
know what I'm saying? You really can't because you could say, are highly sensitive people more prone to illness? Well, are highly sensitive people more prone to anxiety or cancer, to diabetes?
Sure.
It's a really generalized term. And what I'm afraid of is that if people hear this and they think that they are, I would think
Sure.
that people that I come in contact with, either on the phone or by email, more often than not, people have a low concept of what a highly sensitive person is. And they don't want to admit that they are. They just feel that they want to change themselves. And a good part of my work is to actually encourage people to be themselves. And this is not a terrible thing. It's not a disease. It's not, there's so many misconceptions about being a highly
Well, in
sensitive person.
reality, if I can add to
Sure.
what you're saying, in
Sure.
reality, This is the way I kind of look at it, you know, being one myself. I think that once I realized that I was, and I looked at all these aspects that you brought up, and I realized the two tied together, I think what it comes down to is, and I've since met a few other highly sensitive people that I've told about this whole situation and said, wow, I think that's me too, you know, and of course, you know, that could be, you know, in vain. Who knows if this person really thinks that? But in reality, I think that since I've come to realize what that term is and that there is an actual term for my feelings that I've had all these years, I think I've felt some secondary issues from it. And so when you say, are people more prone to illness, it may, like you said, you don't want people to take it negatively. You don't want people to look at it like it's a bad thing because, you know, that can get them caught up in a mental vicious cycle. But it's good to be realistic and say if you are highly sensitive and you have a tendency to get more emotional or you have a tendency to have more anxiety in situations, that you do kind of want to keep that in check. You do want to be realistic and say, you know, I do have this heightened sense, and because of that, it irritates me more when I'm doing this.
Okay.
And that irritation is going to set off different chemical reactions in the body and the brain, and then therefore create other phenomenon that may turn into illness over time. So it probably is crucial to say that even though there's no scientific study to this effect, and we don't want you to think of it negatively. On the contrary, that's why we're explaining this and telling you how to handle it when it occurs.
Okay. When you say that you're, okay, if you mention in a sentence that you're prone to, it seems that there should be a natural inclination or you're predisposed to something. And when you have those words, when you feel that you're predisposed or you don't have any control over it, that's a problem. And the thing is we do have control over our feelings, and it's good that we know about ourselves. The key to really actually improving on your life, whether it be, you know, dealing with stress or different kinds of situations in your life, the key is you need a good understanding of yourself, okay? If you take a blanket statement and say, are HSPs more prone to, you know, let's say that HSPs are more prone to illness, okay, it automatically triggers a response that you don't have any control over it, okay? You do have control over it, and the key to it is you need a good understanding of yourself, and you need to examine your life. Okay, it's true that if you are overly stressed, it does cause your immune system to be compromised, and that's how you become ill. Okay, if you understand your high sensitivity and you understand the things that push your buttons that make you anxious, you can make allowances for it.
So what you're really saying is you could be more prone to illness, but if you keep this in check, which is what we're supposed to be really doing in educating people about the highly sensitive person, is how can you manage this so that you aren't prone to more illnesses, and how does that tie in so you can judge that as you're moving along and recognize it. I think that's really the key in everything, is that you're recognizing what is going on and how you're going to prevent that from, you know, causing problems in you emotionally, which can cause problems physically, and you're going to help utilize this information that you provide to help you to conduct your life so that you can manage it and not get anxiety stricken or
right.
If you are, you know, in situations where you would prefer to avoid, that you're okay with that. You know, I think a lot of times when we look at a highly sensitive person, we have a tendency to be stereotyped for the differences that we have with maybe others in doing things. And so we get labeled or what have you, and so we label ourselves, and then we become more, you know, inhibited.
Okay. Well, you brought up a very good point where we do tend to label ourselves, and because we label ourselves, other people label us in kind. Okay, so what I'm trying to emphasize to the audience is everybody is prone to illness if they're overly stressed, whether you're a highly sensitive person or not. So
okay, Cliff?
Yes.
I have a caller. I want to bring them in, okay?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, hold on.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, caller. How are you?
Hi, how are you today? Hi, Cliff.
Hello, who is this?
This is Malika. I'm one of your followers.
Oh, thank you very much for
calling.
Great.
Yes, hi. I had a question, you know,
yes.
As far as the show.
Sure.
Now, I'm in home care. I work in home care, so I take care of the elderly.
Right.
And, you know, they have sicknesses. I notice myself when I go to work, I could be happy and joyful, and then when I leave work, I am feeling sick, you know.
Okay.
So is there any way I can, like, keep my energy while I'm at work, because this is my profession?
Okay, well, you know what? It's really a matter of mentally preparing yourself because you know that highly sensitive people take on the energies of others.
Okay?
You're in the caregiving profession,
yes.
And that's very natural for highly sensitive people to be in.
Okay.
Okay, so that's a good thing that you're doing things for others. So that's a good thing. It can be a problem when you're taking on the energies of other people because they're sick or they need help. You know what I mean? You're very sympathetic towards their plight.
Yeah.
If you know ahead of time, you know what I mean? I think you need to refocus your thoughts, okay? Refocus your thoughts on helping people. Concentrate on helping people rather than feeling bad about the situation that they're in.
Okay. Understand.
You know what I mean? It's a different mindset. It's a different mindset. Now, the thing is, you might want to examine the kind of people, the home care that you're doing, is there other types of home care that would be more, that would be better for you emotionally?
Well, right now I'm trying to work on, like, just doing the aspect of my own business and hiring girls to do that type of work, you know,
okay.
Where I don't have to be hands-on. I think that would be best for me.
Okay. Well, that's a choice.
Yeah.
That's a choice because...
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, because you're in the profession you're in, it's very good that you recognize that.
Okay.
That on a day-in, day-out basis, it might be difficult for you to be out in the field, so to speak.
Yeah. And it has. It really has. Like, I lost work, you know. I've got fired at some jobs, you know, because I was
okay.
How long have you been doing it, Malika, if I may ask? How long?
Yeah. I've been doing this in and out for 10 years. In and out for 10
okay.
years. And I found that this has been my love, but it's been a lot in my way, you know. And now I'm
okay.
starting to understand I'm a HSP, and it's making more sense now.
Okay.
You
but
know?
You know
what? When did you notice in the 10 years that this started to become more of a problem in that way? Like, it didn't start from the very beginning, in other words, or did it?
Well, honestly, my dad told me I was a sensitive when I was little, but I never paid attention to it, you know. So it goes.
No, I mean your feelings about working. I mean your feelings about
working.
You know.
Well, yeah. I've worked for this one lady in White House Station, and she was very ill, and I got really sick. Like, I was living with her. I was doing a live-in, and I was okay before I started the job. Like, I was healthy, but I was taking on her illness. And that's when I started to realize, yeah, that there's something wrong here. There's something going on.
Okay. But
right.
There are,
you're
but
getting
there are
too
aspects,
involved.
Right. But
yeah.
There are aspects of the work that you like. Okay.
Yes.
That's where you need to reexamine what you want to do.
Okay.
You want to work on things that you want to do, that you feel good about doing.
Okay.
And as you said, you might have other people doing the care.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can consider that. Yes.
But these are natural choices, and it's really important that you realize that you do have a choice, and the more that you're learning about yourself, the better choices you're going to make in all aspects of your life.
Okay.
Don't
the other thing
good
I wanted to
about.
Add.
Go ahead.
I wanted to add though before we go is you know, the one thing I've noticed. And I'm highly sensitive too, is I found that, you know, so I do the same thing you do, and I found that one of the things that bothers me, because I wasn't always that way, mine kind of came on more after a car accident that I was in, and I noticed that there were just things that I couldn't handle, and I couldn't tackle after a while. And I just want to mention to you, the one thing that bothered me was I didn't like the idea that I now had to limit myself. So. Always coming from a background, my father was a big person, and, you know, telling me not to let fear overcome me. and to face my fears. I decided that I knew that what Cliff is saying is extremely important because we don't want to overkill. But what we don't also maybe want to do is back down from the fear. If you feel this way, it's good to understand it completely, to understand that it is not truly a good thing. Or is it okay for me, but I just need to learn how to work through this? And I think even if you decide, like you said, is to work behind the scenes rather than being the person that goes out to the home, that's okay too. But still get to know that fear you have and understand it and embrace it so that you're not always running from it, you know, because it might be something you need to face and understand, but not, you know, let it stop you.
Yeah, okay. Something else I'd like to add to that. You know, it really is a matter of personal choice, and there's no right or wrong answers. It's the
no,
right
not at all.
It's the right answer for you personally.
Okay.
And the more honest you are about yourself, the more productive you're going to be, because you're not going to tolerate things. You shouldn't have to tolerate things in this business. Okay. If you're going to do this, you know, if you really want to go forward with the business, you shouldn't be involved in activities where you feel you have to tolerate. I mean, where you have to tolerate something. I mean, in business, you're always going to have to do some things that you don't want to do, but there are things that are going to be coming up, and you really have to be honest whether you want to deal with it or not.
Okay. Okay.
So it's really a matter of soul searching at this point for you.
Okay. Well, I thank you guys for talking to me.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
She brought out a lot of important points where we just feel that we should be doing this and we should be doing that, and we compare ourselves to others. That's another thing that's very common among highly sensitive people. Because we're different, we feel that we have to be the norm, okay? And if we're not the norm, we feel out of place because of that. And that's not true. No, we really shouldn't have.
Well, I think it was really brave of her to call in. I really commend her for calling in and asking that question, because I think a lot of people may have even just different levels of highly sensitive natures. And, you know, it's true to all of us. We can all get that way. And I think it was really brave of her to understand that, you know what, I've hit a point where I need to change something here. This isn't comfortable for me anymore.
Well, yeah. I applaud her for that, too, and the fact that she really... She's one of the members of the Highly Sensitive Person Friendship Circle. That's something she sought out on her own. And through that, she's going to be getting more information from myself, but also other members of the group. We have a message board where people post questions and thoughts or whatever. So she's going to get different feedback on that. And now she's going to be more confident.
So grateful. For what you're doing.
It's going to be, you know, the thing is she's going to have more options, more choices. We're all in a terrible place when we feel stuck, or if we feel that we don't have other choices, and this just opens up the floodgates to other possibilities.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the key, I was thinking in terms of step-by-step plans to kind of look at what we can anticipate a highly sensitive person going through or feeling, or various different scenarios, that even if it narrows it down to 18 of them and we kind of cover a compass of you know, areas in this topic, that we can help people to work with what they're going through and guide them in personal experiences, or I should say from personal experiences, what is a good way to do this?
Well, you know, I've been having different seminars on different topics of specific interest to highly sensitive people. What I've been doing is taking surveys, whether it be in person or whether it be a telephone conference, whatever. I try to get I have a survey where I have different topics of what people are interested in. And I've done this over a course of a few years now, and I've done seminars on coping with difficult people and situations, also how to make a decision, dealing with stress, how to be more assertive. I also have some upcoming events that are coming up. I have a free teleconference that's coming up April 22nd. Do you have the courage to be your HSP self? And then the following
week,
I have April 29th, I have a teleseminar on decision-making for highly sensitive people. Now, on the teleseminars, what I do, I have handouts on different subjects. Well, on this particular subject, the handouts can range from 8 to 14 pages. So what I can do is, what I normally do is send
them. How do you hand them out?
A few days before the teleseminar, I send a PDF file so that people have the information. Now, after that, on the teleconference, it's normally an hour and a half, and I have it recorded. So what I try to do, I want people to get the most out of
it. How do you know? I'm sorry to interject.
Okay,
how do you know? Two things.
Yes.
I need you to send that to me so I can post it on my blog, okay, so people can see that from maybe someone who's listening in here. I don't have that information.
Okay.
And I know it's probably on your website, but it might be good to, if you have links to those teleseminars or even just the dates to the times, I can post that so they can get it from my blog and also from your website. But the other aspect is, how do you know who to send that PDF to?
Okay, the teleseminar, there is a charge for it. And after the conference is paid for it on PayPal, I send them a few days before the conference, I send them the PDF file. It has the information regarding, information like decision-making, for example. They'll have the information for that. Now, what I try to do on the live call, I can go by the notes, which I normally don't do. I really want people to have their personal experience, people asking me about what kind of decisions they're making. And what I'll do, I'll give them feedback, or people on the call will give them feedback. And I try to make it as personal as possible because I want them to get as much information as possible. So what I do is the notes that the PDF file that I send of the notes, I like people to look at it after the fact, because this way highly sensitive people need time to get, to process information. So that's why what I try to do is to have the information beforehand that they can look at and after, and also apply the information about the seminar to their own personal situation. So they're getting personal attention as well as having information on how to deal with decision making. So I want them to get the most out of the experience as possible. And I've developed this program because I've gone to many seminars, and since I am on the high side of being a highly sensitive person, this is the best way that I learn. And
Cliff, can I interject for a second?
Please.
I just wonder, I don't know if you remember a show ago, we had a girl that was connected to us through another guest that I had, and had gone onto the homepage and to check it out and see what what kind of shows we do and different things like this, and noticed your show and emailed me about being highly sensitive. And so, this person also has fibromyalgia, and I just wonder sometimes, some people will say, no, my childhood was great, my parents were great, I felt like, overall I had a great childhood, and I had, great this and that. But I can't help but wonder sometimes, if you dig a little deeper and you get a little more into detail with things, what kinds of things can precipitate that maybe we don't even realize? I think a lot of physical aspects of us have to do with emotional and psychological things that we bury without even knowing that we're burying it. The only reason that's important to uncover and talk about is not to talk about the past, not to bring the past up, not to bring the past to the future. But, in psychology, it's kind of a work in progress in order to really get to the root of the problem. You can have physical ailments and you can treat the symptoms for 50 years, but every day you're taking a pill or you're taking something to make that symptom go away. And you're wishing, and hoping that day, solution you're using is going to work, and sometimes they may not. Psychology, is very similar. If you don't uncover what's going on underneath and get to the root of the problem, you cannot get rid of it. So
okay.
I think sometimes with us, and maybe, you know, with similar people that are that talk about different having different things like fibromyalgia and different aspects, because the endocrine system is one area of the body and the brain that works directly with our stress. So we don't talk, medical professionals do not talk about this aspect. There's just not enough scientific evidence and all that we would go into today. But they don't talk about this, but the stress and the release of these cortisol and these hormones have a magnificent role. They play a magnificent role in how our bodies react to stress over time.
Okay.
So
I agree. There is definitely a mind-body connection, but it doesn't necessarily mean because of high sensitivity, because you can say that we all have issues. We all have, you know, unconscious things that have happened that it's hard to get to the root cause.
Absolutely. Right. Oh, okay. No, I'm not trying to say that it's caused.
Oh, there could be underlying causes, but being highly sensitive is not the main cause. Okay.
I understand,
but the thing is, you definitely need to get deeper down, but there are times that you need to focus more on self-care. I definitely think there's a mind-body connection. The way you're feeling emotionally definitely feels the way your body is functioning. So I really believe in that. I think it's a matter of understanding who, regardless of who you are, you really need to know, like I emphasized before, you need to examine your life and you need to know what makes you tick and to really think about the kind of things that if you are having a problem with fibromyalgia, for example, okay, that's something that, you know, maybe your thoughts or maybe the things, you know, your excess stress is causing the fibromyalgia to have more symptoms.
Well, here, let me interject real quick.
Sure.
Here's where it relates. Okay, there is a psychological term that talks about triggers. There's whenever we are in a situation, whatever that may be, driving in our car and somebody cuts us off the road. If we're at work and, you know, we're feeling under stress to get a project done. If we're with our family members and somebody says something that reminds you of something your little brother said years ago and it just triggers. These are called triggers.
Right.
And so the reason that it's good to think positive and it's good to say that let's focus on the now. Let us keep our mind focused to what we can do in a situation and what we can't do. That's real easy. But when you have somebody who has a very deep-rooted issue that's deep-rooted because of the trauma it caused or the level that it went to, and just how long it went on is a big factor.
Okay. Well, that's
these
where,
triggers,
that's,
these,
yeah, that's,
these
see,
triggers
that's,
only go, these positive affirmations only go so far.
No,
up
it's
until
not,
the person,
it's not a question
up
of,
until,
not, no, it's not a question of positive affirmations. It's a question of knowing what you need. Okay. If you're having illness,
right,
when you have these triggers,
it's difficult for people to understand how to turn them off.
Okay, if you have chronic issues, that's when you need to be medically evaluated, professionally evaluated. Okay,
right.
It's something you need to. That's something that needs to be done. You know, possibly you could need medication. I mean, that's something for medical professional to really
exactly
determine. Okay,
for
now
sure.
We're talking about a chronic thing that's going on over course of time. Okay, and you definitely need to get to the source of where the triggers are. So you're going to need some kind of help. Okay, this is part of self care. This is part of examining yourself. Okay, whether you're a highly sensitive person or not, you're determining, you're making an educated determination of what you need. Okay.
As a highly sensitive person, you know, I know I understand what you're saying. You're saying you want people to understand that given all this other stuff put aside, you know, these are the ways you can work with this on a day-to-day basis, like with Malika, our caller, you know, talking about her job, and she came to this conclusion that she would just like to remove herself from being in that way and changing what she was doing to keep her away from that. And, you know, I'm just saying I don't know that, you know, her issue would stop there. Something else may trigger each place she takes until she determines exactly where and what is triggering those things in. And I'm sure being highly sensitive does not help. So the suggestions that you make are wonderful to get through, you know, things and to make sure that, you know, we're kind of going through a checklist in that and we feel understood.
Right. Well, the thing is, we have to understand ourselves before before other people can understand us. Okay, and that's the problem. We don't understand ourselves well. And these are the things.
Yeah.
We have the ability to make choices based on our needs. Okay, if we don't know our needs, how can we make good choices? Okay?
Yeah.
So that's why we need to actually initiate seeking information, like Malika did, you know, getting, you know, calling the show and also being a part of the group. Okay, she's taking the initiative to get more information. Okay,
and that's
important for everyone. That's important for everyone. Now, being a highly sensitive person, part of the positive traits of being a highly sensitive person is deep thinking. Okay, we can use these deep thinking thoughts to, you know, to get more information and to, you know, this way we're going to be able to have the freedom of making the choices that are good for us. And also not having to feel guilty about the choices that we've made. That's very important, too, because we feel we should do this and we should do this. Or, you know, if John can do this, well, I can do this. Well, you know what? Everybody's different. Everybody's different. And we need to make adjustments based on what our temperament is, what our, you know, the way we are. Okay,
sure.
And as I said, it's not a matter of being whether highly sensitive people are good or bad. It's a question of, okay, you know what this is. It's not a terrible thing. You can work with it, and actually, if you the more you understand it, the more you can utilize the traits that you have.
Okay? Well, I think you put it very eloquently.
An awareness of the negative things that we, quote, feel negative.
Yeah, I think you put it very eloquently, and that's a good thing. I think so far, you know, you've really taken this step by step, and people are extremely successful with the way that you have employed these suggestions and topics in your book, and your website, and your conferences. So you're definitely right on track with everything and working through these things. I'm really anxious to get your information for your teleconferences so that, you know, anyone listening today can get access to that. So make sure that you get that information to me, and I will post it on my blog today. And
I really appreciate you doing that.
Yeah, and I, you know, I think that, you know, we've covered a lot today, and we've covered a lot about, you know, what we were planning as far as the illnesses go. So, you know, I want to thank you for being on the show, and I'm very sorry about that technical difficulty we had. That was really odd. So hopefully it will run a little smooth when people try to download it. I'm hoping and they'll be able to, you know, get the benefit of the show. This was a really, really good day, good topic that we covered. So I'm hopeful that they won't have any problems with that issue we had initially.
Well, you know,
thanks,
what?
Thanks, Clifford.
I really appreciate you having me, but also I want this is just something I just want to you know, mention to the listeners. Okay, we had a little technical glitch, but you know what? We made adjustments, and we all make adjustments in life. And the thing is, that as long as we don't make it a big deal and just work with it, with work whatever comes, our life is going to be a lot less stressful.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Well, until next time, I really want to thank you for being here. And once again, I enjoyed it immensely. And thank you.
I did too. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, bye-bye.
It's laundry day. And even though you know there are no zombies in your basement, because you're an adult and zombies are not real, you still can't bring yourself to turn the light off before you go up the stairs due to the creepy hand that will not grab your ankle because, again, zombies are not real. Plus, you have an Amazon Echo. So you wait till you get safely to the top of the stairs and say,
Alexa, turn off the basement light.
And the basement light goes off, and you continue upstairs alive.
Alexa, lock the door.
Okay.
Thank you.
You've been trying for half an hour to get your little bundle of joy to be a bundle of sleep, but so far nothing's worked. You tried the Binky, you tried the Blanky, you even made Mr. Fluffy do the Fluffy Wuffy dance. Alas, your tiny miracle has a very large pair of lungs, but you have an Amazon Echo, so you call for backup.
Alexa, call Mom.
Calling Mom.
And just like that, Grandma to the rescue.
Hi, baby. Grandma's here.
Alexa, thanks.
Anytime.